A reading from 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, for our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends, in an essay titled The Crisis of the Christian Ministry, Hermann Zassa notes, quote, "This ministry, this office which preaches the word of God and administers the sacraments of Christ, goes on in the history of the church until the end of history. The task of our office is to preach the word of God, which is given to us once for all in the prophetic and apostolic writings of the Old and New Testament. It is this constant tension between a divine commission that must be carried out and the inability of man to carry it out that creates the permanent crisis of the ministry." The ministry in crisis. In our text for this morning, Paul points congregations and pastors to the resolution of living with this crisis in the ministry. From the midst of the foibles and failures of our pastors, he directs both pastors and congregations to place their confidence not in themselves, but in Christ alone. In other words, sufficient Christ, sufficient ministry. The problems that pastors face, however, is that we carry with us a long legacy of insufficiency, a long history of unworthiness and inadequacy. The great preacher whom Jesus himself declared of John the Baptizer, "There is none other greater than he," acknowledged his own insufficiency when he proclaimed to Jesus, I baptize with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. And St. Paul, who preached the precious gospel from one end of the Roman Empire to the other, declared, "I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." The simple fact of the matter is that when it comes right down to it, no pastor is truly worthy of his office. In spite of all of their education, all of their pastoral experience, their charm and good looks, their youth and energy, their wisdom and skill, no pastor in and of himself is worthy of service. And that is the great paradox of the holy ministry, that sinners are sent to sinners, to call them to repentance and to proclaim the forgiveness of sins. Or, as Sasse puts it later, the crisis is solved only where it is understood that the missio peccatorum, the sending of sinners, and the remissio peccatorum, the forgiveness of sins, are two aspects of the same grace of God. Thanks be to God that both pastors and people live under that same all-sufficient grace of God in Christ Jesus. For our Lord himself came into this world to himself become inadequate, insufficient, and unworthy. Paul declares in the same letter, God made him who knew no sin, that is Jesus, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. From the virgin's arms to the arms of the cross, Jesus Christ did it all for you. And now our crucified and risen Lord leads us forth to live under this grace, with a ministry among us to proclaim the gospel into our lives and to the lives of those around us. Paul says, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." Who is sufficient for these things? Paul answers his own question a chapter later in our text when he says, "Our sufficiency is from God, who made us to be ministers of a New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." In other words, a pastor is only as sufficient as the gospel that he ministers to his people. No gospel in his preaching and ministry, no sufficiency from Christ. And the pastor who ministers only the letter, that is, the law, he kills his people again and again, and then fails to raise them with that life-giving gospel. And not just some gospel in his preaching, like a seasoning, like some salt. But as Walter would declare, the word of God is not rightly divided when one does not allow the gospel to have a general predominance in his teaching. The gospel sufficiency of Christ, this predominance of the gospel, is not some kind of glass half full kind of sufficiency. Not barely enough, not good enough. No, the sufficiency that God gives in Christ Jesus, like the gospel itself, is a cup overflowing. A boundless preaching of the one thing needful. To use a Motor City analogy, we all know the 64 Dart was certainly sufficient to get you down the road at the speed limit of the 1960s, but not a lot more. The gospel sufficiency of the ministry is like a 2018 Dodge Viper. It will certainly get you down the road at the speed limit, but it is capable and is able to do so much more and can get you where you need to go. That is the all-encompassing sufficiency of the gospel among us. Christ's forgiveness, full and free, given amply and unreservedly again and again. Jesus has done it all. And delivers it all for you. And when it comes right down to it, isn't Jesus always more than enough? In Jesus' name, amen.